to Between Our Sundays.
This is Kenny.
And this is Chrissy, where we share real life with real people while serving a real God.
Well, welcome to episode lucky number 13. I think we agreed, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Today is the 26th of June. And another month is stretching by. Like, feels like we just got into June. We were just doing a podcast, as we just discovered from our notes, almost a month ago.
It's been exactly a month ago.
Memorial Day, when we were out and about roaming around.
Jekyll Island.
We got to get better at getting in here and doing these.
Yes, agreed.
I think they're really just for us.
Yeah.
I think we enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know that we have the world that comes to our stage, but we come to our stage, and I enjoy being on the stage with you.
I just enjoy chatting with you.
Yeah, you get me closed in a closet for like 45 to 60 minutes. I can't use my phone. If I am using my phone, it's usually to check out something on the Bible. And everything's recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So you can play it back later to make sure I said what I said or did what I did, and it's documented.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a reality TV show with just the two of us watching each other.
Yes. I think we could do a reality TV show sometimes.
I think so too. I'm not sure that it would be funny, but I think people would be entertained nonetheless. So we'll put that out there. We'll just start making these into videos, and then people will really get to see what happens in the green room. And not in the production show or not in the production world green room, which means something different, by the way, but we are actually in.
We are in a green room.
We are in a green room. We made our room green when we created what is the prayer closet to us. Quickly became a space that we set up a mini podcast studio in as well. Well, we're sort of rambling now. I like that, though. I like getting slow. We've been on a different wavelength lately. We've been really exploring some of our own efforts at what is next in this world. And, you know, when a lot of people start on a journey of hey, what's next for me, where I'm at, it's maybe they're in a life change place. Maybe they're in a new phase. Maybe kids are coming. Maybe kids are going. There's a lot of reasons why people are asking what's next. And I don't think we're really at one of those major pivotal points. We have some stuff on the horizon with you know, kids transitioning, but we're still kind of the same place that we have been. But I feel like what we're starting to quickly discover about ourselves, individually and then together, is there's something more. There's something greater. There's something that is just waiting to be taken. And both of us don't really know what that is, but both of us are tremendously enjoying the pursuit of it right now. We have some awesome stuff. You know, I'll brag on you for just a minute. You kind of had a revelation. I really wasn't that long ago. I mean, I'd say it's been in the last couple weeks. You've probably had the revelation for some time percolating. This is when you let it out of your cage. You're like, hey, you know, I did my pre-law stuff when I got my bachelor's degree. I worked for a law firm for several years as a paralegal. I loved doing it. I loved family law. I loved doing estate planning. I loved helping people. You know, I think it's time. I think my life is at a place right now where I can go and maybe try to go to law school and finish out what I felt was my destiny. What do you think? And of course, naturally, I'm like, 100%.
Right.
Absolutely. Run after it. You know, because I can't think of a better person to be around than a person that is happy with themselves, that is and fulfilled. And I don't mean that from a place of financial or fame and fortune. Those things may come, sure. But I mean it from a place of just knowing that I can see you wake up every day, putting in the hard steps of whatever is coming before you, and knowing that every time you get through a gate, you're earning something. Like you are actively pursuing something. You know, a word that has just been constantly coming and going from my mind and out of my mouth is intention, over and over and over. And again, I think we could sit here and riff for hours on the premise of intention.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a powerful point when you begin to put it into practice.
Well, I think the amazing part is that God puts things on our spirits in different seasons of life. So this started probably earlier in the year, and it just happened through one of these leadership courses of us getting the opportunity to learn more about local government and state government. And so it's been a couple of months since we did some tours at the state capitol, and it really ignited a fire. But I tend to doubt myself a lot in a lot of ways. And over the last several months, it's something that constantly comes up, whether it's a TV show or it's, okay, guiltily, Maddie was in a forensics class and we found ourselves watching a lot of true crime behind the scenes type shows. What started for her class, it was just, I just found myself gravitating towards the legal side of watching these events unfold nationally and big cases and just seeing the behind the scenes pieces of the law working. And I feel like God could use me so much in this field. I love law. I love so much about it. I really enjoyed working in the firm that I did and just being in that line of work.
But so, I remember so much about it being a part of obviously your husband and your friend through that employment. And let's be honest, you kind of made peanuts. So you definitely weren't there like raking right. in the dough. This wasn't right. like I'm going to work every day because you guys are throwing bags of money at me.
Right.
Like, you legitimately enjoyed the pursuit of something.
Right.
And I would say more times than not, though, the stories that you would come and share and the moments that you would share were not surrounded by, hey, you know, I'm representing client X because they got hit by a semi truck and now we're going after millions of bucks. This is going to be such a payday. It was, man, I have a family who had somebody that passed away, and unfortunately that family member didn't prepare for their end of life.
Yes.
And now they have a mess. And if you don't do anything, then the state and the government gets in there and rips it all to pieces, and everybody comes out of the woodworks, and I have an opportunity to dig into the law, dig into the USCG. I have an opportunity to step in as an advisor.
It was OCGA.
There you go. Whatever the letters are, that's why I'm not in it. But I have an opportunity to step in with some expertise and mentorship and say, hey, let's do it this way. You're going to come out better.
Genuinely helping people.
Again, I'm sure we'll get to share about some positive life planning later. We don't need to hijack this with positive life planning for your end days, but
I do think that the season that we're in right now is positive life planning, because if you don't believe in yourself and have confidence in yourself, you're not building. How do you build a legacy? Something that has been preached on the last couple of weeks. And I think that coupled with, we've been on the road a lot recently in the recent weeks. And I have found myself, it was going back and forth to Auburn with Olivia. She went to camp a couple weeks ago, had a great time. But that was 4 hours round trip in the car. And I found myself going into some podcasts, and the uplifting and the buildup of believing in yourself. And you cannot grow your family. You can't grow yourself if you're not believing in yourself. And I think that's what's happened is in the process, it's probably been mostly over this last month of just talking about things and moving beyond just talking about them and actually doing them.
So, if we pause there for just a second, because I think we're going to get to go somewhere good with that, and we just circle back for un momento on this idea of legacy. What does legacy mean to you? Like, look, Let's open that can for just a second so that the rest of what you're about to fill that can with makes a little more sense. Like, are we talking legacy as in how I leave a financial state? Are we talking legacy generationally of what I do? Are we talking about what people think of you when you no longer exist? Like, what does legacy mean to you?
To me, legacy is more about what the people around me know me for. And I think about, this is going to sound kind of gruesome, but in the whole big picture of being in estate planning and working with people who have lost loved ones, I have often wondered, what is my obituary going to look like? What are all of the people around me, you, what are you going to be left with to say about me when I'm gone?
What makes you think I'm not going to die first?
I don't know. I don't know. You might, but still, what would the kids, when they're sitting there in these moments of planning a funeral, which I hope most of it is planned, but I want them to share about me. I want my friends, my family to share things about me that were life-changing. I want to make an impact on the world by being the best daughter of Christ that I can be. I want to love. I want to give. I want to work hard.
And I'll take it one further. Agree with you, everything. And I have the very same mentality of legacy, very much so. But I want to know that those things are happening even now. I want to be
exactly.
able to come and go from a room and not leave somebody with pomp and circumstance and any of that. I want to come and go from a room and people go, I know him because of the things he does. Or
right.
I know he was here. I can see why he was here because of the things that
I want to make an impact. And I want to make
exactly
an impact
it.
In any place that I'm at. So maybe today is the only time that I may be impactful to that one person. But when I pass away in 45 years, let's hope that it's that long, I want that one person that I impact today to be able to say on that day, wow, that's how I felt. I want to leave a lasting impact, but I also want people to walk away from me feeling good about themselves.
100%.
I want to pour into people in a way that leaves them walking away feeling better than what it was, what they felt in the beginning when they first started talking to me, or just saying hello to the person in the grocery store because you made eye contact. Like, just to look at myself and to see where, over the last 4 years, how much God has worked in my life, from living life staring at a floor in every room, in every scenario, whether it's out in public, going into church, you know, praying internally to myself, please don't make eye contact with me. Please don't have a conversation with me. Please don't engage with me. To now walking with my head held high and hoping that someone makes eye contact so I get the opportunity to talk with them. And it doesn't have to be any kind of specific conversation, just to connect with human beings so that they see themselves, that they feel seen, they feel heard, and they feel loved. Because isn't that what Jesus calls us to do?
It does. But let's talk about for just a second, because the process of that, you know, getting there, and even when you are there, and then of course maintaining that level of awareness, it sometimes doesn't always have the positive consistency that we hope for. An unfortunate reality that I think we can't go without saying, as positive as we want to be here, is that when you put yourself on a path, when you find your trajectory, when you begin to say, no, not today, I've got this. I'm a goal-oriented person. I'm a growth-oriented person. Today is going to be better than yesterday, and I already know tomorrow is going to be better than today. Like, this is going to happen. You tend to find yourself somewhat noticing the people that are going to come to your attention very quickly that you thought might have been in your circle, And now you realize they might not be in your circle. It's almost, you hope that, you always hope that you got a cheerleader around you. You always hope that you're surrounded by people that are going to see this change or see this trajectory and see this thing. And I, for the most part, I think you do. But you're very quickly going to recognize some folks that are going to take you by surprise, and your growth is naturally going to offend somebody or put them on edge or even put them off.
I don't know that offend is the right word. I think intimidate.
Intimidate. There you go.
I think intimidate is a better word, because I think that having strong personalities and having a confidence does bring out insecurities in other people, and it becomes intimidating. So what may seem offensive, it's really an intimidation. And that's where,
you know, people be like porcupines sometimes. So a porcupine, when they become intimidated by whatever's around
threatened,
them, they immediately go out. They blow up, all their quills come out.
But that's a protection.
It is, because they don't know how to handle the sensory. The thing around them may not be there to hurt them at all, but they immediately go into that puff mode, you know?
And here's the important part of dissecting this conversation is that as we grow and as we mature and bloom in ways that we can only imagine what God has in store for us, we have to be mindful and cautious of those moments to not allow someone else's natural protection to intimidate us and push us away.
Look, because it can't detour you, but it also, you also can't allow it to change your perception of them.
Exactly. It's I think sometimes that God may place those people in your life to bring out an empathy and a compassion. Because I think for me, working in a career that was full of a lot of death, you become very stone hard to the death piece. And I think while I cared and loved each and every person that came through, it became business at one point. And I think the amazing part is when I think about how God's moved in my life over the last 20 years, it's like I fell in love with the law. And now God's worked on my heart to combine law with compassion, because I don't know, truthfully, I didn't have compassion at that in that season of life. That season of life was full of stress and anxiety and us in constant uproar, because you were either gone or not gone, or even when you were home, it was just chaos. And I was chasing this dream and this career while we had small children and a farm and you being gone with the military so much that, and I was finishing my bachelor's degree, which now I'm realizing I should have done a little bit more work in that. But all of that said, we were so, it was different. It was different, but God needed me to go through that part to find the passion in something that he knew he was going to use in my life, however many years later.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I love the way that you have begun to compare and contrast your beginning and your end. Well, it's not your end, but where you're at now, because I think, I know who you are and I know who you were, and there's such a difference in those two things. I love knowing that you have such an ability to look back and see in yourself, hey, this is an entire different point of growth. And these are the things that I'm now working on. These are the things that I can do. And this is now a complete advantage in the big picture. Like, it's just, I don't know, it amazes me to see so much that is going on, and it amazes me to see where you come from and where, like, I can't even imagine where you're going at this point, because, like, you are truly captivating the day. You are truly turning into a conqueror, and that word, I love it. I've attached to it so much lately, because it's, for me, the idea of conquering something can sometimes come across as masculine or, you know, very overpowering, maybe even arrogant. And it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be that. It can just be a frame of mind that, hey, listen, if you think about this as a whole, I can allow the world or my circumstances to put a cage around me, or I can say, absolutely not. I'm going to break the barriers. I'm going to be the one that's going to move forward here. I'm going to use every gift of God that He has given to me, and I'm going to exercise those. Because what I'm beginning to see in my life, and what I'm hearing you say through this, is God's giving me these ideas, these talents, these gifts, these spirits, these fruits. And it would almost be unfaithful or unworthy to allow them to not be used.
It almost like a disrespect. Being able to see people for what God has given them. Like you, for instance, you are an amazing business person. And the way that I have viewed you for the majority of our marriage, I've almost felt offended. Like I'm second fiddle to any kind of business that pops up. Whether we're on the same page, not on the same page, I looked at this desire of yours to be bigger and to be better and just, I don't know the right words. I just feel like I saw you pursuing all of these things outside of us, outside of our family. And recently, God's just opened my eyes and taken the wool off of my eyes to see that these are gifts that He's blessed you with. And I've realized how much I feel like I've placed us both in a box put these parameters around us. It's like, oh, you're following God and you're Christian and you're this and you're that. Well, why have I put us in this box of like, if we're following God, then we need to be in ministry, or we need to be in this, or seeing people close to us that are following their God-given dreams and their God-given talents and the gifts that God's bless them with, thinking that, well, so-and-so is doing this, so that's what God's really moving in their life here. Why aren't we doing this? And why aren't we pursuing this? And I feel like about a year now since I've not been working. And I feel like this last year has been spent just, what am I doing with myself? What am I doing? What, God, what do you have for me? What is the intent for us? And where are my gifts? What do you have? Like feeling like I'm on the verge of something more, but not knowing what it is. And now I sit here and it's like, okay, I can see how God's moving in our life, but He needed us to go through these times of patience and these times of waiting and these times of being still.
And in the moments of being still, I think those are the moments that when we shut up, He talks to us the loudest.
When
we take a moment to absolutely just say, hey, you know what? God, I want to hear you. I want to listen to you. I want to absolutely define for me what it is that you are speaking to me in, it becomes a place that He is absolutely amazing to us in. And what I'm beginning to see each and every day is that there's just such a place of goodness. There's just such a place of maturity and blessing that is waiting. And I don't want to say that God is not blessing you if you're not trying. That's not how I mean it. But I do want to say that that when you are trying, when you are just absolutely relentlessly running after his goals, his plans, his ideas, while also maximizing his talents and the gifts that he's given you, it changes. It changes you as a person. It changes your situation, and it certainly changes your life. And I love the outcomes that begin to happen, because you begin to see the world differently. You begin to see people differently. You begin to act differently. You begin to interact with people differently. And that is probably one of the biggest parts of this, is interacting with people. When you become somebody that is channeling exactly what God has for you, when you become somebody that says, hey, you know what? I feel like I'm good at this. I feel like God is putting this on my heart. It changes. It just simply changes what it is that you have. It just simply changes how you go after it. It becomes more fierce. I don't know. The only thing I can equate it to, I don't have any professional sports career. I didn't have a college career, nothing like that. But, you know, I enjoyed playing sports. But, you know, you kind of see guys that can come through, and you can pick out in a crowd somebody that really can do, and some of those that obviously can't do, you know, those that are just naturally blessed athletes. And I think when that athlete really begins to notice in themselves, hey, I think I'm good at this. I think that maybe this is what I'm meant to do. They begin to act more passionately about what it is that they are doing. They begin to exist in that environment in such a way that is, again, intentional. They begin to shape each decision that they make around that gift and that idea. And, you know, bringing this into a spiritual fold, you know, not that everything has to be about the world. I don't mean it that way, but bringing it into a spiritual fold, God has placed us in some very unique positions. Every single body is in a unique position. Yet we all have one singular goal. We all actually have the same end state, and that is to show the world the love of Christ, and to show the world where the bridge of salvation comes from and how they can get it.
Absolutely.
And when you begin to understand that every gift, every talent, everything, while some may make your earthly skin, your body here feel better, look better, do better, you may have more money, those are not bad things, and you don't need to apologize for the blessings that come upon you. But you need to begin to understand, and you need to recognize the end state, the end goal. And it never was about you. It was about you maximizing who God built you to be the most efficient fisher of men, to be the most hardworking farmer sowing in the fields. And you're going to have to use those gifts and talents to do that. You're going to have to find the things that God's got for you. You're going to have to find duty, dedication, diligence, honesty, integrity. You're going to have those things in order to find each one of the success points and to put yourself in the room or the rooms with the people that God has got you to interact with.
For sure. I think that's the hardest part is sometimes getting into the room.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Like, you think of yourself for half a second, if only I, you know, and then right. Fill in the blank. And it's like, what's stopping you?
Right.
Why does it stop at if only I?
And I feel that this last week, and I know I shared with you earlier in the week, just a personal growth moment. I don't talk about myself a whole lot, so it's kind of odd. And a new experience here to kind of talk about myself in a positive way. I can talk about all of myself and all of the bad things, and I'm quick to point out where my failures are. But I've not. So earlier this week, there was a bit of a, I found myself with the decision to, you know, leading up to law school and what it entails, you know, researching schools and options and opportunities. And I found a place that I think is a real great hybrid option for our family and this season that we're in. I just think it would be great. And so I've started going onto social media and joining into some study groups and getting ready for the LSATs. And earlier this week, I just kind of had this epiphany moment of where are my transcripts from my bachelor's degree? And I was reading about these scores and kind of what law schools look at. And it really, in a brief second, I became defeated because completing my bachelor's was a complete blessing. I was so glad to just finish it. But when I finished it, it was, again, back in a season that was very busy, and I procrastinated a lot. I knew the material. I knew the things. I had great grades. I just kept procrastinating and waiting until the last minute and getting the deductions because of going past deadlines. And, you know, this is 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago. I started that journey in 2012. I graduated in 2016. So now here we are, fast forward 9 years since I graduated. But I'm realizing, and I'm putting all these pieces together, that I do not have a good GPA from my bachelor's degree. So earlier this week, in the midst of a whole bunch of chaos, of busy, I start searching the house for transcripts. I took a second to pause, and normally, because you were out of town this week, and I was texting you, and I'm telling you that I'm hitting these roadblocks. And guiltily, and I love everything about you and all of the ways that you have supported and cared for me and taken care of me. In that moment, I realized how much I depend on you to fix things for me. Unnaturally, like it's there are things that I need to take on, but I've developed this anxiety over the years of, I can't do these things on my own. Kenny's just going to do it. So I'm texting you, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, he's going to reach out to the school. He's going to figure out how to get these transcripts for me. And in the blink of an eye, I had already logged into my old school account. The passwords that flew right off the top of my head. I had no trouble logging in. So I immediately was able to log in. I was immediately able to figure out how to order transcripts when that time comes. But I was also able to access my GPA to confirm what my concerns were. And it's bad. But then on that same token, I start problem solving. I start going through brainstorming what solutions are out there to compensate and overcome this hurdle. Now, Chrissy, even a month ago, Chrissy last year would have taken that as a sign of, I don't need to do this. I don't need to do it. I don't need to do it. I've got a horrible GPA. I don't have any way to do anything. I've failed and I haven't even started. And instead, I start looking at ways. And then I went one step further. I had already called this college and I had talked to the admissions, one of the gentlemen in the admissions office. And he had sent me an email a few weeks ago. And I went back to his contact information. I reached out to him directly. And I said, here's where I'm at. And he didn't give me any fluff to say it was going to be easy. He said it's going to be hard. But we don't look at just scores. We don't look at just these numbers. We look at you as a person, as a full package. Is it going to be much more beneficial if you get a great score on your LSAT? Absolutely.
So if we take that for just a second and we like, okay, here it is. And of course, I got the reader head because I've already walked this road with you. But think for yourself for a second, or somebody else that can hear you think about yourself for a second. You get path A that says, I had a great GPA. I can kind of, I can half it through an LSAT. I'll get in. It's okay. That's a path.
Right.
Did you really earn it? You know, are you there now because you really, really needed to get there? Or, hey, yeah, your GPA is what it is. I'm going to need you to put the hustle in on this test. But in addition to that, they told you needed all these other things. They said, hey, you're going to have to be this well-rounded person. I'm going to need to see letters of recommendation that really show the character. I really am going to need you to write a personal letter that explains who you are as a wife, as a mother, as a community member, as a volunteer, as a, you know, all as a business person. You're going to package yourself together in the process of getting to that submission end state, not even the acceptance, just the submission end state.
Right.
And you're going to have to go through and define who you are.
Right.
How am I as a presentation to somebody else?
Exactly.
And once you get through that point and get to the other side, I've passed the test, I've been accepted, I'm in the program, you're going to have this sphere, this ball that you created around yourself of, this is why I want to be here. I'm not floating your boat. This is really why I want to be here. This is the tests or the bars that I had to jump. These are the hoops I had to go through to get here.
Right.
So when I start hitting the class that I may not care the most for, because it falls on the wrong time of my life, or it's on a holiday weekend, or I'd rather be sitting out on the beach right now instead of having my nose in a book.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have this fear of you to fall back on and say, wait a second. And in my intro letter, I said, I want to make my kids proud. I want them to see a wife and a mother that never stopped pursuing greatness.
Right.
So I'm not going to do that now. I said I wanted to be a contributing member to my community because I feel like I have something to give to somebody else. I'm not ever going to be able to give this gift to somebody else if I don't pass this class right now.
Right.
So I'm going to do that. So
it goes back to your word of intentionality, though.
That's the difference. You're exactly right. Because now you're doing it with a very defined purpose.
And it all starts with being confident in who we are. Being confident in who we are in Christ. Being confident in who we are as people. Because if you're not confident in yourself, how can anybody else be confident in you? People can believe in you all you want. You've said it to me for years. You're amazing. You're wonderful. You can do anything you put your mind to. That's fine. You've said it. Do I think that you are truthful? Absolutely. But if I don't believe it about myself, I can only go so far on the belief that you have in me. So I say this to anyone who is listening, if there is something that you have inside of you that is a passion, is a desire, believe in yourself. We can't rely on the world to fill us full. Our beauty, our confidence, our everything about us comes from what Jesus did on that cross for us and how God sees us every day. And it's so perfect and it's so blameless. And
imagine the amount of confidence and faith and trust that he had to have in that moment. It was like every single leadership principle and every single point of greatness, it was like all in one exact moment. It was, I'm standing here a king, and I'm going to humiliate and be humble in this moment and take myself to the lowest level for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to listen to all of the junk, all of the crap. And at the end of this, I'm literally going to allow them to crucify me, a blameless man. And in that, I am going to confidently continue to stand up, continue to hold my head high, continue to carry my own cross in that exact moment all the way to my death. Because that is the vision that my Father gave me. That is my destiny. That is the goal. That is the power that I was given. And he did that for us.
And he knew his destiny. He knew everything. His legacy was loving people and serving people until the day he died. And knowing that he was going to be betrayed and ate dinner with the man who betrayed him. Washing feet. He washed feet. I mean, just to think about the selflessness of, but yet a confidence of, this is my purpose. My purpose is to come save you all.
Intention. Everything he did with intention.
And here's the thing. He wasn't liked by everybody. Not everybody followed him. And we live in a world today where not everybody follows him. And not everybody is going to like us. But when there's someone like myself who's been this people pleaser for so long, being that people pleaser comes from a lack of confidence, because it's like, I have to make sure everybody likes me because I don't know who I am. So I'm going to change who I am in whatever circle I'm in so that I can be a part of all the circles. I don't need to be a part of all the circles, and I don't need to be liked by everybody, but I do have to know who I am.
And more importantly, I think if you see this a bit backwards, where I am conducting myself in a manner to hopefully be liked and received and accepted by the circle that I want to be in or the circles, that is an approach. That it is almost always a failed approach, because at some point you're not going to fit into that circle, right, or the people within it changed. But when you begin to put intention and purpose and discipline behind your life and your decisions and maximizing every gift that you have, you allow yourself to step away from the pursuit of being liked, and you allow yourself to really use that intention to let everybody else know that they are liked.
Absolutely.
It's completely different. It's like,
you still walk into the same rooms, but
you're the same room. It's the same people. Yes. But it's like, I'm here today with confidence, yeah, not arrogance, confidence, because I need to tell you that you're important. I need you to understand that I stopped.
Yes.
Not because of who I am, but because of who you are.
Right.
That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus said. He said, this isn't existing because of, it literally is because of who I am. But I am who I am because of who you are.
Right.
If we can't follow that most simplistic approach of servant leadership, then we've kind of missed the whole point, in my opinion.
Right.
But absolutely. Bringing this all the way back to kind of where we started in, If you don't find yourself pursuing things, you're not going to be placed in the positions of greatness or leadership or the circles that you can run in to be a difference and be an influencer.
Absolutely.
And again, the point is not influence so that you gain affluence. You're probably going to eventually gain some affluence. Yes, it's a byproduct of influence. But the influence, or the pursuit of influence, is so that you have a room, you have an audience, you have a moment.
Right.
And what do you do with that moment?
Right. I think that's where we are currently sitting, is what are we doing with our moments? And I think for the first time in probably our lives, I feel like it's the most clear, yeah, unknown.
But you don't even care about the unknown.
Yeah, there's no fear, like, per se. It's
no.
Like, that's what I think this week was, is there these moments being placed in my path intentionally. How are you going to handle this? Okay, Chrissy, you think this is what it is. How are you going to handle it? Are you going to run away scared? Are you going to stand up and overcome the obstacle? An obstacle that you made choices to get. You essentially put this obstacle in your path because of choices you made a long time ago.
Are you sure you can't run the blame game gamut here?
I mean, I could blame everything under the sun.
I'm a product of my circumstances. I was a single mom with a job and a this and a that.
And
does it change it today?
It doesn't change it.
Is it helpful now to bury yourself in that negativity?
It helps me with real life experiences to encourage my children.
That's it.
To focus.
That's it.
To now, God knew that those decisions needed to be made at that time, 10 years ago, because I would be sitting here 10 years later with an experience to be able to share, but also to be able to walk the path of how you overcome it. And we're going to overcome it, and I am going to overcome it, and I'm going to study my butt off to get a good grade on this test. And guess what? If I don't, I'm going to keep trying, because I genuinely feel like God is calling me to something bigger. And this passion that did not have to be revived, there are reasons that I've been placed in positions for this leadership class with the county. I mean, it has been a phenomenal experience, and each time and each month that we get to come together to do these amazing things, it's just there's more and more affirmation that this is a process. This is a process that God is taking us through, and it's a well thought out process. And I'm just in awe that we serve a God that is so attention to detail,
meticulous
in the millions of people that follow Him. He's so meticulous and so specific, and
He sees you.
Yeah,
He sees you right now, right where you are, right in your brain space.
But also sees me on my deathbed in however many years that is, because that's already destined and set out. And he already knows the path. He already knows.
He does.
It could be tomorrow. It could be, God willing, I hope, a lot of years from now. A lot of years. We're going to go together.
Okay.
So we need to plan our funerals.
Together.
Together.
I already told you. Cremated in a tree bulb. That's all I'm asking for.
I don't know about a tree bulb, because if our kids are like us, they're going to know. I hope our kids are not like us, and I hope they find a place to plant themselves for a really long time.
And my tree.
You're not getting a tree.
We'll call it the legacy tree.
No.
Of me.
No. No tree. You're not going in a tree. I'm not putting you in a tree. If you go first, I'm not putting you in a tree.
As your advising attorney, I would like to let you know that I have all control and authority over my death wishes.
No, no. I'm going to donate your body to science.
There's enough odd things that happen in my body. Somebody should figure it out. Start with my brain.
We can do that legally. At least in Georgia, you could. You could do all of the pre-planning with the universities. And have the paperwork filled out, added to your will,
they can
and
use
everything.
Mine for the forensic science class. Leave, you know, like they did the chicken, instead of watching it decompose, they can just set me out and I'll decompose.
I don't think that they're going to put a dead human body out there to watch
might
it
not
decompose.
Be the best picture at the high school,
no,
I guess.
I don't think so. I think they should probably stick with chickens, but.
But hey, let's wrap this up in a bow here. I think we could probably talk a whole bunch, and we should probably get on here and talk more.
Yeah.
Because I think we can take this down to a whole nother level of living in our legacy and building our legacy, but then passing that on presently.
Right.
You know, because I'll close with this one piece that, you know, as we are in the pursuit of building legacy, at some point I want to be at a level of giving that to our kids. In a moment that they can understand, and in a moment that they can receive it. I don't want that to be at a deathbed where they understand legacy then.
For sure.
I want it to be, hey, listen, I'm going to watch my mom and dad try. I'm going to watch them to do everything that they do whenever they do it, however they do it, because, I don't know, they're just relentless at whatever they do. And I want to be relentless too.
Absolutely. So.
Well, like always, I think we could probably close out with some prayer to just put a little bit of a blessing over each person that is listening, blessing over us and our family. So we'll let this open up. So I'll close this out here with some prayer, and then okay. I'll let you close the show.
Okay.
Heavenly Father God, we are so thankful for just a place that we can talk, that we can get some stuff out of our heads and onto a record here. And God, we're thankful for intention. We're thankful for purpose. We're thankful for vision. God, we're thankful for the gifts that you give us. God, you make us so strong because we are truly made in your image. And when we begin to see the amazing things that we are able to do, God, we can only imagine how much bigger you are, knowing that we are made in your image. God, I pray that the DNA that you put within us, God, is something that will be magnified and glorified for your kingdom. God, I pray for every good and faithful thing that we are a part of, God, that your glory would be recognized above all. Lord, I am thankful for a spouse that's a friend. God, I'm thankful for a spouse that is a doer. I'm thankful for a spouse that is a conqueror. I'm thankful for the strong and beautiful woman that she is, the mother that she is to these girls, they're just the go-getter, God. I am so thankful for the magnificent and beautiful person that she is and what she tries for. God, I also pray for those that may hear this right now and say, yeah, I feel it. Something's out there for me. I just don't know what. God, show them the what. Show them what it is that you're waiting for them to take a hold of.
Show them themselves.
Show them that they are strong enough to do that thing. Show them that you are already in them to conquer, that you are there, that you could do it for them, but you're not going to do it for them. You're going to do it with them. You're going to hold their hand as they walk through it, but God, they have to make that step. They have to take that chance. They have to step out on that ledge. They have to put their faith into action. They have to pursue your greatness with intention.
Yes.
And they have to decide today, God, if this is what you have for me, here I am, send me in whatever that chapter is.
Yes.
Let me have it. God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for the blessings that you put on us, God. I pray that you would bring us together safely until the next time we meet. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you all who are listening. Thank you for following us on this journey, and be on the lookout for the next one.
All right, guys. We'll see you then.
Bye.